Hello, and welcome to the Canadian Football Countdown. I'm Ryan Coop here alongside Trey Colbeck, Adam Stewart. Welcome one and all to our Week 6 CFL preview here on the Canadian Football Countdown. We are going to talk through the top storylines for each of the games this week. We'll go through the CFL fantasy options. We'll go through our picks against the spread as well and talk through it all. Excited for another week here. Before I bring in the rest of the panel to do so, I do want to mention we are a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network. And as always, want to acknowledge that the Canadian Football Countdown is brought to you from Treaty 1 territory, traditional territory of the Anishinaabe, Cree, Ojibwe, Dakota, and Dene peoples, and the homeland of the Métis Nation, as well as from Treaty 4 territory, traditional territory of the Cree, Soto, Dakota, Lakota, Nakota, and Métis Nation. We are live tonight, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, all the fun places, all made possible by our presenting sponsor, Game Time TV. Learn more at Game Time TV on Facebook, facebook.com/GameTimeTVMB. And if you're joining us live here tonight, send your comments, send your questions in the chat all night long. We will pull them in as they fit. Have a great time here tonight. So let's bring in the rest of the panel here. First in the middle, it's the great Adam Stewart. Adam, how are you tonight?
Hey, I'm doing good, Ryan. Just finished up cutting some hay because, you know, that's what we do during this time of year over on the farm. So, had a bunch of breakdowns, got a few things fixed, got some more things broken. So, you know, just a traditional day on the farm. Looking forward to talking some football here tonight. So.
Right on. Looking forward to it for sure. And of course, joining us as well, the great Trey Colbeck. Trey, how are you doing tonight?
Fantastic, boys. I just already finished up my ice cream for today. I don't have any more for a little bit. But excited to talk some football. I started a summer job and I've been staring at my computer for 12 hours. So why not? Let's go for another hour and a half, boys, and talk some CFL.
Awesome. Good way to end off a long day for sure. Here with some CFL talk. We've got a couple folks here in the chat with us tonight already. That's great to see. Happy to see you there. Let's dive right into it with our Week 6 preview. And let's start off with the major storylines. And Adam's got them for us. Let's start with what's game number one here, Adam?
Well, game number one is the Edmonton Elks traveling out to Montreal to take on the Montreal Alouettes in a Thursday night football game. Presented by 7-Eleven. I guess I just wanted to throw that out because I still haven't got my Slurpee cup yet. Maybe one day I will. But anyways, I think the big thing on this game here is game number one for head coach Danny Maciocha. It's now his team, and he's got to try to guide him to greatness. Guys, what's the thing that Danny Maciocha gives that maybe Kahari Jones didn't give this team before? Trey?
Yeah. Just refresh my memory. Is it Maciocha that was the coach that Milt Stegall burnt for that big pass catch years ago? I remember, because every time I talk about Danny Maciocha, I just think of that drop on the ground. So it's always hard to talk about him other than that. But I think he brings a little bit maybe more experience. I'm still not sure if I like the move overall, but, you know, I'm actually surprised Kahari hasn't found another job already. So I think it'll be interesting. Real interesting game. We'll talk about the line later, too. It's a pretty big one for a team that has, for Montreal, that has some ups and downs as well. And Edmonton, I don't know. Like, I saw a good comment here on Twitter earlier in the day. Someone said Edmonton would be battling for first in the East right now if they were over there for some reason. So, yeah, I'm not too sure what he brings, but we'll find out. Ryan?
Yeah, I'm very interested as well because we all kind of saw this as a possibility that this was going to happen at some point this season. And if you're the general manager and you're letting your coach go and saying, I'm going to take over on the sideline, you better kind of hope you succeed because if not, the decision, well, the fingers are being pointed at you extra if you're taking over and you can't succeed there, right? So because either A, you're not coaching well, or B, as the general manager, you didn't bring in enough talent or a mix of the two. So a lot of eyes, I think, on Danny Maciocha here now, taking over here at the coaching spot for Montreal. And I'm interested to see which way it goes as well. It seems, I believe, like Trevor Harris is going to be the starter for him. He's kind of fits the system he likes to run there. I still think that Vernon Adams Jr. should be the starting quarterback in Montreal, but I guess we'll disagree on that one. So, you know, Trevor Harris facing his former team here as well. Very interested to see that matchup and just what Maciocha brings that Jones didn't through the first couple games of the year.
You know, the one thing I think he might try to bring, I mean, let's face it, I think it was kind of discipline was the issue with Kahari Jones in the end. And I think that's what the owner and GM, Machocha, didn't like. So we'll see what happens with in regards to discipline is what I want to see. This being said, I remember Danny Machocha was when he was on the Double E Edmonton teams back in the day. And, you know, I don't remember a very disciplined Edmonton team. So to me, I really want to see what kind of goes on here. I know they say he's really good with young players. He was a coach of the Montreal Caribans before, so it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But again, I just am not sure about if he's maybe taken on more than he could chew on this one, because let's face it, you don't have a stable quarterback situation. You don't definitely have a stable running game situation right now, even though, Antwi has been okay. So it'll be very interesting to see what Danny Machocha does to maybe shake things up a little bit in Montreal. Over on the other side of the ball, the Edmonton Elks are one banged up team. Let's face it, I just took a look here just before we got in. We have got a lot of players that are injured for the Edmonton Elks. Toby Antigua's dealing with a injury. Daron Carter's still out. Jalen Collins. Taylor Cornelius has been a healthy scratch, so he's likely to get the start this week from what I can hear. Trey Ford is out. You've also got Nafiz Lyon out. You've also got Nelson Cole out for the offensive line. With all these injuries for the Edmonton Elks, what does Chris Jones do? Does he just keep bringing players in? Does he, like, what do you need to see out of the Edmonton Elks defense to see some sort of, well, let's face it, they need to start improving quickly. What do they need to do? Right?
Well, see, the interesting thing about the Chris Jones system is you look at any other team and they, you know, get a lot of injuries. It seems like maybe a bit of circus of who's going to, you know, be put into what position to fill it. Maybe guys move around, you know, on the defensive side of the ball a little bit to accommodate it. Well, Chris Jones's system is already a circus to begin with. So if anybody's prepared to have this many injuries and this many guys out and not playing their standard positions, it's this Edmonton Elks football team. So, yeah, big concern with a lot of the injuries there, though, of course, if we're being serious here. We saw it last week against Calgary. They really struggled to contain the Stampeders offense there. I'm a little worried about that defense. It seems pretty thin there. And yeah, quarterback Taylor Cornelius getting the start. I don't know if I agree with it. I don't think we saw anything too fantastic from him last season. I get why he's starting, obviously, because they've shipped Nick Arbuckle out. I would have preferred to say to keep Nick Arbuckle there and have him be the starter. But, you know, again, I'm not surprised that he got shipped off. Kyle Oxley would probably be the guy I would actually start at quarterback, but seems like they want to use him more at wide receiver. I think he might be backup QB, a little bit of wide receiver this week. Who knows on that one. Trey, what do you think?
Well, I guess my main question, I have more of a question. What do we think's the problem with Edmonton? Is it more players or is it more system and coaching, right? Like, they do have a little bit of talent on their team here and there. You know, they got Lawler. And they did have Trey Ford and looked like things were going and stuff, right? So do you guys think it's the talent on defense or is it Chris Jones's system not working quite yet? Because it's kind of hard to say what they need to do to fix it, right? Like the question was, do we keep bringing more guys in? Well, if the system's a little broke, you can replace them with anybody and it's not going to quite work. So, yeah, I guess and Chris Jones probably doesn't think his system's broke, so he's probably going to just keep filling in guys and he's going to Bill Belichick it, right, and try to find as many guys that can just plug up the holes and one day hopefully it'll fit and they might get this win. Like, I don't think they're going to lose by 9, but, you know, I think they'll definitely lose this one.
You know, I just look at Chris Jones, and this is exactly what he did with Saskatchewan. He got his own guys. He got the most athletic people that he could possibly find that could catch a football, that could run a big, fast run down the field quickly, and just plugged him in wherever he needed to plug him in. Quarterback be darned. He did not care about a quarterback, essentially, in Saskatchewan. I mean, let's face it, he went with Brandon Bridge and brought in Kevin Glenn because what does a quarterback matter? I got all the other players around me. And let's face it, he started off poorly in Saskatchewan. I think his first year was 5-13. And then he moved up and kept going bigger and better. It's the way he builds his team. He signed back another quarterback this week to mention. Canadian Mike Beaudry will be back in Edmonton. He was signed earlier this week. So they are running three quarterbacks once again with Kyle Oxley moving over to that wide receiver spot. And then possibly, you know, once in a while, hucking a football once whenever he needs to. So that three quarterback system, since it came back into the league this year, Chris Jones has taken full advantage of it. And he's going to run three quarterbacks as well as with Taylor Cornelius. Anything else in this game here, guys, that we need to talk about? I know, yeah, you said the line a little bit earlier, Trey. It's kind of one-sided pretty heavily there. We'll talk about that a little more. But Ryan, anything else that you got?
Yeah, we've got a comment here in the chat from Andrew that says, who trades their top QB this early? It does seem like a real bizarre trade, right? When Nick Arbuckle seemingly is the top talented was the top talented QB, in my opinion, for the Elks, but didn't fit the system there. So I find that, again, very interesting. But the big thing for me that I'm actually watching on the Montreal side in this game is that Anthony Calvillo is taking over offensive play calling for the team with Kahari Jones going out. And I am very excited to see what that means for the system, because we all know how successful Anthony Calvillo was in his career as a quarterback. I feel like he's gone, you know, in a couple of coaching roles on the offensive side of the ball with Montreal. And did he go to Toronto, I want to say, for a little bit as well? And you know, I don't think any of them panned out greatly, but great offensive mind. Excited to see what he does with that offense there. And should be fun to watch and hopefully bring some life to that Alouettes offense.
Yeah, that's one good point. I did forget about Anthony Calvillo. They did say is going to take over. And you know what? He's got the quarterback that probably reminds him most of himself in there as well with Trevor Harris. Let's face it, Anthony Calvillo was not a running quarterback by any means, but he sure could throw a football when he needed to. Trey, anything else you're looking at in this game?
No, I'm pretty good. I think it's pretty set, and we'll just looking forward to see what we think about the line later. But yeah, at fantasy point, like a game like this could be decent in fantasy points too, maybe later when you got a two off or two defenses that you don't really know what you're going to get. You might get some big plays. So yeah, I think if this was any other league, this is basically the battle for the first round pick, I think. And so let's just move on to the undefeated boys.
Yeah, definitely. One little quick note also, though, whoever is doing those little graphics or whatever for Edmonton, keep doing them. They are great. If you didn't see this week's, go and take a look at the Elks Twitter page. But yep, we got to move on here. We're going to go over to Friday Night Football this week, where the Calgary Stampeders head to IGF Field to Winnipeg to take on the Blue Bombers. Both teams are undefeated, as everybody knows. I'll just throw this one out here first. Which team really feels like an undefeated team? Ryan?
Well, first of all, I just immediately after you said it, I went to the Elks Twitter account to look at that picture, and it is absolute gold. Go check that out. I agree. Yeah, the battle of the undefeated teams this week. It's interesting because I think I said in our recap show on Monday, I both kind of put them in the same category of a little surprised because they didn't necessarily, like, they have both had a couple close games here, right, where they almost blew it, or in the Stampeders' sake, they came back from a big deficit and turned that around in their game against the Ticats. So I don't know which one more feels like an undefeated team. They kind of feel equal to me, really, because they've had a couple blowout wins. They've also had a couple, close ones there. I'd lean towards Winnipeg's being more impressive. You know, Calgary has played Edmonton twice here. Granted, Winnipeg played Ottawa twice, and I guess Ottawa's winless, so maybe that's, you know, not a fair argument there. But Winnipeg had the tough test last week against BC and pulled it off. So I think I'm slightly more impressed by the Bombers, but also not surprised that Calgary is where they're at as well. Trey?
Yeah, I guess if I have to pick one that feels less undefeated, I'd say Winnipeg, because they shouldn't be after that botched extra point, where I guess you can make the argument Calgary had a bunch of comeback wins, but does that make them more dangerous that they can be out of games at halftime and come back? So I think this should be a good game. I'm actually now looking at this matchup, I almost think it's going to be maybe even more exciting than we had last week with BC and Winnipeg. So, you know, I think it's going to be an interesting game. We saw Ice Cream Man Caleros there ball out and play like Patrick Mahomes. And we're going to, I think we're going to see a Bo Levi who does what Bo Levi does. So what is Dunnigan say, gunslingers? I think that's what we're going to see a lot of on Friday night at IG Field.
A couple sling nasties, is it?
Yeah.
One's going to be slinging a lot of vanilla, that's all I can say. Anyway, no, you know what? I look at this game here, and I probably think actually I'll disagree with you a little bit, Ryan. I think Calgary's actually impressed me a little bit more. The reason being is they're more of a complete team, I think, right now. You look at the past game for Calgary, it's been very good, especially with Malik Henry there. The run game has been great with Kadeem Carey. Even the return game, we seen a touchdown last week from the backup running back for Calgary. So, and the defense, I think, is pretty even, probably a little bit of an advantage on the line, probably for Winnipeg, probably maybe more a little bit of an advantage on the secondary for Calgary. So to me, I think the run game is going to be the big issue. And let's face it, when we talk run games, there's only one guy we can speak to on this. Trey, run us through Trey's theorem for Winnipeg and for Calgary on the run games.
Well, you got to do it, boys. You got to do it. That's the simple question, man. Like, I was just going to say that later in the spiel here, which running back has the most running yards? Well, Kadeem Carey does, but I guess, I don't know, when you combine Oliveira and Augustine and now McCray, maybe they come back up. But yeah, I think, you know, we don't know what the weather's going to be like in Winnipeg. Might have to run the ball. You know, we could have we've had crazy thunderstorms lately, crazy rain. Might have to turn to that. So yeah, I'm hoping that nothing excites me more than a big rumble tumble game. So I don't mind seeing a lot of running yards from both sides. And then that opens up the passing game, boys, right? So run the ball, make your field goals. And I'm pretty sure both kickers are pretty dang good at field position, where I'm pretty sure they both do kickoffs. So two teams, perfect at those three things. So it's going to come down to, like Adam said, defense. And that's, I don't know, boys. Again, I don't pick my pro line picks until we start doing it most times. I have no idea again in this one. So we'll see what we do later.
Yeah, for me in this one, I mean, we know how good Calgary's run game is. We know how good Kadeem Carey has been. We've seen Peyton Logan also last week pitch in there a little bit, and I think he'll pitch in heavily on returns again this week, which will be nice to see. You know, the Stampeders, perfect, I would say, run game. You know, not much more I'd want to see, just continue what they're doing. Winnipeg, one good game last week. Rest of the season, not so much in the run game. And I think it's that three-headed monster that they got to run like they did last week. I think it's, you know, important to get Greg McCray in there. And maybe we see him, you know, maybe we see him get a little more involved in the passing game. Because we saw him kind of play that Dembski role last week for the Bombers. And I like that. You know, you use Augustine, you know, he's got a burst of speed. Oliveira can, you know, get, you know, down and dirty in the trenches there. And then you got McCray and those utility packages. I want to see it spread around like that, because I think that's an effective way to run the game. It's not the sexy pick when it comes to fantasy, and it's going to hurt your fantasy team if it's split up. But in terms of an effective game, yeah, that's going to help you go out and win things, right? So that's what I'm looking for from the run games here specifically.
So you mean Buck Pierce actually has to follow what Jason Moss is doing right now? Hey, you know what? I agree with you. I think if the run game can get going for Winnipeg, it's going to be a huge advantage, because it's going to open up that passing game for Zach Collaros, so he can start dishing off plays as much as he possibly can over to Greg Ellingson, who really hasn't done a whole lot this season. And like I said, that way there, you open the game up, right, essentially, when you have a good running game. We've looked at Calgary, and let's face it, Bo Levi hasn't had a lot of pressure on him, because you have to respect the ball could go to Kadeem Carey at any time. And it's the same way for Winnipeg. If they can get that ball off and they can get moving quickly, I think there's a good chance that Winnipeg wins this game just on a running game if they can get it going, though. That's the big thing. Anything else in this game here that we're looking at? I know, like I said, undefeated teams. This is a 6:30 start in Winnipeg, I believe.
7:30.
7:30 start? Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, later night game. So, should be cooler out. So, I guess we won't see too many cramping. Not too much cramping, because I think Winnipeg's hot just like Saskatchewan right now.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like 31 degrees here, I'm pretty sure, Friday night for this one. So, going to be a hot game between two hot teams.
Absolutely. Trey, anything else to go on this game?
No, we're just talking a lot about the run game, but just quick, we have to mention that Winnipeg D line. They were all over Nathan Rourke last week too, right? So keep an eye on that too. And I saw something different in Willie Jefferson and Jeffco. Like I said, I felt like they were a little slow at the beginning of the year. And then you see them making big sacks. You saw it when Jefferson missed Rourke and Rourke got out somehow. You know, you see that a little bit more energy. So I think I'm really excited, but Calgary's defense, no slouch either. I think it's going to be a good game. I don't think it's going to be like what BC Winnipeg was, like 43-22. I think it'll be lower scoring, but really action-packed. So I'm really excited, guys.
You know, one thing I'm going to watch, though, for is the D-line. They had a great strategy on shutting down James Butler, like Brian just said here earlier in the chat. Do you guys think that last week, Winnipeg and BC, that Winnipeg didn't have a run game? There was a reason why, because the defensive line actually managed to punch some holes through that Winnipeg O-line. Now, the O-line's different. Calgary is a fairly established O-line, but Buck Pierce is not a mobile quarterback. So in that case, I would give the advantage to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers for sack or for rush pressure, for pass pressure. I don't know if I still like their chances, though, up against a real running back like Kadeem Carey. So to me, it's going to be one of one and one of the other. It'll be very interesting to see what happens here. Bryce also asked in the comments, you taking Bo Levi at quarterback this week? Guys, what are you guys thinking of Bo Levi Mitchell before we move on here?
Well, we'll get into the fantasy prospects of picking him a little later on in the show, but I'm interested on this one for Bo as well, because he's played well the past couple of weeks, and I think a lot of us were naysayers of him preseason. You know, credit to Adam here, who did pick him in round one in our fantasy draft preseason. He's been one of the top producing fantasy quarterbacks this season so far. But yeah, Bo's played pretty good, I would say, thus far. And I just want to see him keep it going. And against a defense like Winnipeg, that's going to put some pressure on you here. You know, how is he going to perform? I'm looking also at, you know, does the Malik Henry show continue, or do we see, you know, a wake up of Reggie Bagleton, who's been rather quiet so far this season? Kamara Jordan's had some good games here and there, but it's been the Malik Henry show. Sindani is out this week. Jalen Philpott is out this week. So, you know, those are some of the more depth guys there that are not in right now. So, yeah, I'm looking at specifically, you know, Reggie Bagleton to get back onto the track we're used to from him. Trey, what do you think of what are you looking at here for Bo Levi Mitchell against Winnipeg?
Well, we're asking fantasy. Am I allowed to take Fajardo, or is it just the Saskatchewan defense I'm allowed to take, Adam? I can't remember. But
I think you're okay with Fajardo, just not the defense.
Okay with Fajardo, just the defense. All right. I don't know. I don't know when it comes to this, and I know we're kind of mixing and matching the segments here. I'd watch Bo again. Yeah, Bo Levi's been great. But Winnipeg defense, they're ball hawking. They cover pretty well for the most part. But if they start doing that bend, not break, Bo's going to start picking them off that way too. So I could, it's going to be one of, yeah, it's a tough game to match. I kind of, in these tough games, I tend to stay away from them because Bo could go for 500. He can go for five picks. I wouldn't be surprised either way, really. Bo's
in one game, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, Bo's in one game. That's what I mean. I'm not too surprised. I wouldn't be too surprised either way. So I think Bo Levi and Caleros are both, I'd probably stay away from this game from fantasy-wise. But we'll talk about that later, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And then the other one also is, let's face it, Bo has some pretty good options on receiver. He's got some new guys, though, and I think we'll be talking about one of them for sure in fantasy here this week. But we'll get into that later on here as we go. Now moving on now to the early Saturday game. This one here is Touchdown Atlantic going and being played in Wolfville, Nova Scotia. It's the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and the Toronto Argonauts. Should be one heck of a tilt, or a tilly, or whatever they say out in Newfoundland and out in the East. Anybody, first of all, there is some huge excitement. Wolfville is a town of 5,000 people. They've got a 10,000-seat stadium. It's completely sold out. Is it the time where Randy Ambrosi really has to look at this and maybe make an announcement this weekend that we will award a conditional franchise to a CFL team in the East, right?
You would hope so, but I don't think so, right? Like, I think it would be you're all right. It's a perfect opportunity. I'm not sure if the CFL is out of that post-pandemic little, like, we need loans and we need this and that stage yet. Maybe. Who knows? Who actually knows where the financial well-being of the CFL is, you know? They wouldn't even show the government it, right? But, anyway, you know, it's tough. And I don't know. I believe the ownership group they kind of had before has backed out a little bit. So I don't know. Is that there? Like, I don't, you know, yes, they probably just, they deserve a team. 100%. I'd rather one there than anywhere else. I don't understand why you'd go anywhere else first, but I don't know if a 10th team is plausible right now. I wish I knew more of the economics of it because, like I said, is there a team? Is there land? Where are they going to do it? Are they going to play at a college? You know, there's a lot to it. They should announce. Randy Ambrosi should have been pushing every little bit to get it done this year. And if he's not going to get it done this year, better do it by Atlantic Canada next year, if not Grey Cup at the end of the year, right? So, Ryan, what do you think?
Yeah, you know what? Randy Ambrosi just actually put out a letter to Atlantic Canadians just a little bit ago here today. Basically, you know, saying how excited they are for this game and, you know, how many people they're looking forward to having there and a big family-friendly events and things like that. And here, and this is on the CFL.ca website. You can find it on the main page there. He says, it's so wonderful to be back in Atlantic Canada. We'd be thrilled to have a CFL team in the region. We need to grow. We're confident a team here would be a great success. Paraphrasing, moving on here. What we need, of course, is a proper stadium. A stadium could be a magnet for events of all sizes and the showcase that Atlantic Canada has to offer. He mentions, you know, Tim Hortons Field in Hamilton as a successful example here and basically goes on to, you know, talk about the economic activity that can come with it and says, imagine what kind of stadium could do for Atlantic Canada. So I think this is very much still on the this is a good sign to me that this is still very much on the CFL's horizon and they want to go here. Now the ball is kind of in the court of, you know, the Atlantic region here to do what you got to do to get a stadium here and get the team. The CFL has expressed their interest in if it makes sense to do it. Now they need the stadium. And I think if they do, the fans are going to show up. I think we talked about this a lot during the off season. And, you know, one of the things I mentioned, and I always talk about, you know, I'm a big reality TV fan. I watch a lot of Big Brother, Canada. Every time there's a contestant on Big Brother Canada from one of the Atlantic regions, they win every single fan vote that season because the Atlantic region rallies around their people. It rallies around their teams. And I think it would be no different if a CFL team gets there. So I like seeing these events where we, you know, have other teams come here and play. Now I want to start seeing an actual team from the Atlantic region play here.
You know, what I really would like to see is, you know, these Touch Atlantics have been great. Every time it's loud crowds, they're all celebrating. I mean, let's face it, Brett Lowther is going to be the most celebrated player at the whole thing this year. Most times the kicker ain't your most celebrated guy, but I bet you this time he will make an exception. But you know what would be really cool is to get a stadium somewhere out there, even if it's a sort of a temporary slash permanent sign of stadium, have a Grey Cup out there once. See if the fans really want to come in and if they're really wanting to spend their money. Because let's face it, Grey Cup tickets are expensive. They always are. But if they're going to buy Grey Cup tickets, there is no reason why they would never support an Atlantic team out there. So to me, you get a 30,000-seat temporary stadium, kind of like what BC did that year when BC Place Stadium had some renovations going on. I'm sorry, I can't remember the name right off the top of my head. And you do that once out there in Atlantic Canada and try it. And if you get a reaction and a huge success out of it, you get that team going as soon as you possibly can. Moving on to the teams now, though. The Saskatchewan Roughriders are off of a pretty big win there against Ottawa. There's a lot that we could talk about on that. But you know what? I think we're going to do like Coach Osei said. We're going to move on to the game itself here tonight. And the one thing I think in Saskatchewan that we have to talk about again is Trace Theorem. Frankie Hixon had an amazing game for the Saskatchewan Roughriders last game. So did Jamal Morrow. Is there a running back controversy starting up in Saskatchewan? Trey?
A running back's different than quarterback, right? I think you rotate the guys a lot more like you see in Winnipeg. And again, we're going to talk about two of the top five rushers are on the same team. And usually those, you know, Hickson's at fifth, and the leader is Jamal Morrow. Like, that's insane to think about, too. Like, teams don't run the ball enough to have one guy in the top five, let alone two, right? So, wow, they're going to keep those Prairie boys like to run the ball, right? And, they're going to keep running it. And I think that's what you're going to have to do. On the other side, which we'll talk about later, we got, Andrew Harris, and we could talk about some records, not official records, but moving up the record list that he probably wants to get, and, chip on his shoulder about probably wanting to break some of those records in Winnipeg, but now he has a chance to do it out in Nova Scotia, right? So it's going to be a running game again, and I think we got to talk about the crazy Maritimers. I know personally from horse racing, they're the smallest little area, but they have more racing than almost anywhere other than Southern Ontario. It's insane. When they get passionate about something, they're going to ride it. And again, whichever team they picks, the home team officially, I think that team's going to win. And I don't know if it's going to be Toronto, but probably going to be Saskatchewan. But we'll see, boys. Ryan, to you.
Yeah, to me, this is, you mentioned Jamal Morrow, Frankie Hicks, and to me, this is 2018 Andrew Harris and Timothy Flanders in Winnipeg. I see a lot of similarities where you've got, big production from the starting guy in Jamal Morrow, and you've got a backup in kind of a main 1A, but slightly 1B situation in Hickson, who can come in, spell a couple plays, and succeed and do a great job and, bring some creativity to that offense in some ways where both of them will be out there as well. I think, as long as Jamal Morrow is also handling some kick returns here and there as well, that means more opportunities for Frankie Hickson. And I think that's going to be the key to a successful offense here. I like what I've seen from kind of the dual back system here from those two in Saskatchewan thus far.
Yeah, no, I've really enjoyed it. I mean, let's face it, as a Ryder fan, how could you not enjoy it? I mean, it's always exciting to see a 10, 15-yard romper, even as Frankie Hickson did the other day. I think it was a 60-plus-yard romp into an end zone. I mean, those are huge plays. They get the crowd fired right away. And right now, Saskatchewan's banged up in the offense and the receiving core. Yes, Duke Williams is going to be there, but he's definitely not 100%. Mitchell Picton was out all week with a ankle injury. Kyron Moore is just starting to practice. He might be back by possibly the BC games, I would think, but I don't think we'll see him before then. So, the Riders are banged up. Shaq Evans is still going to be out probably till Labor Day at minimum. So, like I say, the Riders are definitely hurting. So having a great run game like they have takes a pile of pressure again off the receivers. They don't have to do as much. And the other thing also that's been really exciting is the offensive line has stepped up to push holes open for those guys. And the color commentator for the Riders, Luke Mullinder, said, there's only two things offensive lines want to do is line up for the buffet and push holes open. So to me, they're doing a great job of both of those right now. Hopefully it carries on over in Atlantic Canada. The Argonaut side's a little bit different. There's one thing that I think a few guys are still watching is the play of McLeod Bethel-Thompson. It's a big story going forward. I think that probably his leash is getting shorter and shorter every time he throws an interception or makes a bad pass. Is this the game where we finally see the pin being pulled and start seeing the Chad Kelly era in Toronto? Ryan, you go first.
I don't know, because I thought that coming into last game against Winnipeg that it would be close to it. And Bethel-Thompson did not play good at all in that first half of that game. And then they decide, and it kind of seems like from Dinwiddie's comments, didn't he say something on the sideline like, no, we're sticking with MBT for now or something like that? And it was kind of like, okay, like one more pick is going to do it. And then all of a sudden he started, turning it around in the second half. And last week they were on a bye, I guess. The game week before against Winnipeg, 73% passing, 314 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions. He turned it around, and kudos to him for that. We knock him as, maybe not the best quarterback, but, you got to give a guy credit for leading a comeback like he did, especially against that Bombers defense that, we've talked about already. So I think maybe that earns him a bit more of a leash this week than I thought it was going into last week's game. But he's got to come out and perform. And the Argos, to me, in general, need to come out and perform. Their first game of the year, they got lucky that David Cote missed that short field goal at the end of the game. Second game of the year, got blown out by the BC Lions. Third game of the year, rough start, good finish, but they got the bad luck that time when they missed their field goal. So it seems like a team that's been kind of on the precipice, a couple games of, you know, good team, maybe bit of a disaster, you know, right in the middle there. So which Argos team is going to show up here? Because we're previewing week 6 and they've played 3 games, and I don't think we have a whole lot on who they are as a team here yet. So, yeah, I'm intrigued to see how they perform this week against Saskatchewan. Trey?
Boys, as a degenerate gambler, you got to look for trends. And you got to look farther than – this is a little life lesson. Adam will talk – or Ryan will talk about the dad advice later. And, Adam, you can tell me all about trailers. But I'm going to tell you about being a degenerate gambler. So you got to look at trends. And more than just the season, boys. So the last time there was a TD Atlantic – a guy by the name Bethel Thompson threw for 464 yards. Now, this was in Moncton, apparently, and that's like, thank you, the great Milt Stiegel, for the stat he put up on his Twitter page today. But yeah, that's an interesting stat, 464 yards. Now, they lost to Montreal, but that doesn't matter. You still threw. You didn't have Andrew Harris in the backfield in 2019. Now, you didn't have Brandon Banks. So that's an interesting stat to me, and I think Saskatchewan – I don't know. You got to be careful. Sometimes you hear footsteps and they're 3-1 and fourth, or, you know, fourth in the division, or third or fourth, however you want to shake it up. And Toronto is tied for first in the division. So, you know, you got to look at the momentum. And I think Bethel Thompson could have a game here. You know, I think, and Andrew Harris was on the verge of maybe making a little bit of history and passing Turtle Man on fifth on all time scrimmage. When I first saw that, that's everybody, that's not even just Canadians, he's going to be fifth in all-time scrimmage yards, and easily by the end of the season he could pass Charles Robertson for fifth all-time rushing yards. The guy Andrew Harris, passionate guy, he's going to want to get this done. Now I'm sure he would really like to start breaking these records whenever Toronto comes back to IG Field for a game or two, but I think he's going to break. I don't think he's going to get the rushing yards when he needs 399 yards for that. He only needs 45 to pass Stiegel. He's going to be used. He's going to get way more than 45 yards, and he's going to help Bethel Thompson out. And Bethel Thompson, if he can get even 360 yards, I think they can win this game easily.
I like the comment we have here in the chat from Andrew that says the Argos are like a Rush song. You either like them or you don't. Yeah, that's I would agree very much so with that statement there.
Yeah, no, I can agree with that one too. That's great.
Okay, quick podcast poll, because I'm going to make the decision if I want to stay or leave this podcast or not. Do we all like Rush or not?
I'm not a music listener, guys. Like, I'll have the radio on in the car, but generally it's podcasts for me.
So. Yeah, well, that's the same with me, Trey. Like, when I'm out running in the field, I've usually got everybody else's CFL podcast on to try to figure out what to say tonight. So to me, it's tough to say what exactly to do. So, by the way, shout out to the other CFL podcast network guys.
I like listening to New Orleans Is Sinking once in a while. They're a pretty solid band, but I just had to ask.
I don't know if I could name a single Rush song. So I don't know what that means for our friendship here, Trey. But
at the 100th Meridian, boys, we're gonna get taken down off YouTube if I start singing it. So it's fine.
Anyways, on that terrible bombshell of Trey possibly singing, let's move on, I guess, to the last game of the week, unless there's anything else.
Oh, you guys gonna bring up. My God. I'm being an idiot. I'm not doing Rush. Rush is way better than that. I was doing Tragically Hip by accident. I got the two bands mixed up.
I was wondering. I was like, I'm sure that's
Tragically Hip. No, Tom Sawyer. Thank you, Andrew. But hey, when Bubbles plays with them, man, that's the greatest. I'm thinking the wrong band. Man,
I'm sure this podcast is going off the rails already. But anyways, already you're talking Atlantic Canada and have to bring up somebody else. Anyway,
can we make the excuse that I mean, it's not like 11:12 at night for us, but it is an Atlantic region, so that it's late.
Yeah, we're talking Atlantic. I mean, it's late out there. We get a buy on this one. Anyways, let's move on, I guess, then to our last game of the week, which is the Ottawa Red Blacks with new quarterback Nick Garbuckle traveling down the road over to Hamilton to take on the winless Hamilton Tiger Cats. This is the battle of winless teams. It's going to be an interesting game for sure. I guess the first thing we have to talk about, of course, is the new quarterback in Ottawa. Nick Arbuckle, how much of the game plan can you really have in 4 days down that Paul Lapolis has? I mean, is Lapolis is a very easy system to learn? I would not really think so. But yet, Nick Arbuckle is very likely to, I mean, unless something changes here and Caleb Evans gets the start, I would think probably Nick Arbuckle is going to get the start and he's going to go in. How much of this playbook and how much can really Nick Arbuckle do for Ottawa in this first game, Ryan?
I don't know. I'm actually under the assumption that it's Caleb Evans starting in this one. I think Tyree Adams has been practicing as the backup. Now, maybe they rush Arbuckle in here at the last moment. Personally, I wouldn't because you're, what, one win out of first place in the division still currently. So as a loss to Hamilton this week, really going to hurt you that bad if it happens. I would stick with Caleb Evans. He knows the system. He played, well, granted, the system has been overhauled a ton, I guess. But he played for you last year. You know, he showed some flashes at times. Give Arbuckle another week to prepare here. So I would go that direction. But if they need him, if they do go with Arbuckle, then I think it's going to be a very vanilla playbook, which, I mean, maybe works out for you here. Yeah, then you got to lean on the run game, I guess, of William Powell. If that's the case, that's the key to me. You know, give Arbuckle a bit of a break there. If it's Caleb Evans starting, I'm excited because he's a very mobile quarterback. He had games last year where he had 60 yards rushing. And I think, you know, what did we see that last game between Edmonton and Hamilton before the Ticats went on the bye? Trey Ford, you know, I would say Trey Ford, Caleb Evans, the same sort of type of quarterback there. Very mobile guy, going to probably run for as many yards as he throws for in this game. So that could do a bit of damage maybe against this Ticats defense, that Hamilton team trying to find their way. What do you think on the quarterback situation here for Ottawa and the offense there, Trey?
Just to make sure I get it right, it's Nick Arbuckle. No, so I don't want to say the wrong name again here. The quarterback situation is interesting. You don't want to rush a guy. And I guess if you take the loss this week, you're still only like a game or two down out of the playoffs. So it's not exactly the worst case. But does Lapo feel any heat on his pants? I don't know. Like, it's a tough one. I don't think so. But the question I really have is, again, we're kind of getting into the betting line. This one's at 7, favoriting sorry, my wrong notes here. I'm picking up my Assiniboia down picks here. Here they are. They're at 7 on Hamilton. Is the difference between Ottawa and Hamilton that much similar than Edmonton-Montreal? Because Edmonton-Montreal was 9. So, like, it's kind of weird to think about that. So, I don't know. Is that just because Mazzoli's out that now they stretch it? I don't know, man. You go either way here. I think it's going to... Who would have thought two teams that haven't had a win would be 7-point difference?
Like, it's that's weird, right?
That's why it's really hard to talk about this game, because before Mazzoli went down, I would have put Ottawa to win this one. And now you're telling me that Hamilton's favored by 7. It's very interesting. So, yeah, I think but does Ottawa have more of a run game? Probably, because Hamilton's has been non-existent as well. So I think it's going to be interesting. I think Lapo needs to be a little – well, I know it's not Lapo's offense necessarily, but I think they need to be a little – throw a little bit of sprinkles and a little bit of chocolate sauce like my ice cream in this one, boys.
Yeah, no way. But you know what? Vanilla offense equals instant win. I mean, you know, you could do that. Sorry, BC fans. Anyways, with that being said, I think, yeah, you got to run probably Caleb Evans this week. You just can't learn a game that easy and that fast. I mean, let's face it, every offense is a bit different. Everybody's got a different play call. It's got to be Caleb Evans playing this week. And I think he'll be all right. You gave a good point, Ryan, about him being a very mobile quarterback. He is. And he might be a very interesting fantasy pick just for the rushing yards. But we'll see what happens here. On the other side of the football, Hamilton just needs to get something going. Has not had a great season so far at all with Dane Evans. I don't see any sign of anything else really changing there, except for one thing. The Hamilton Tiger Cats brought two players in this week. One of those was John Ryan, the old kicker from our punter, I should say, from the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers way back in the day. Does this kind of help the Hamilton Tiger Cats in field position more than anything? Or is this just kind of a move to say that we made a move, Trey?
I think it's interesting. The John Ryan one was interesting. I didn't know if the punting game was that off in Hamilton, but maybe it is. So I think it's just a signing to kind of be a signing. But real quick on the comment, Andrew says he has Hamilton is 3.5. What website do you have that? Because I would jump all over that because Play Now has it at 7. So I'm going to ask Andrew that, and maybe he'll throw me up the website because I'm going to jump all over 3.5. 7's steep. And then 3.5, I think Hamilton could do that. So, but yeah. I think the punter, that's just, unless you expect him to go play quarterback, I don't really think that's a huge move. And man, I don't know, maybe John Ryan would do it. Ryan, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, I think I made the joke when we were chatting this week that bye week for a Ticats that haven't gotten much going offensively for most of the season. What do you do to improve the offense? You bring in the king of the Rouge himself, the king of the punt singles, John Ryan, who needs to put touchdowns on the board when you can kick 7 singles and achieve the same result? I think they did struggle a little bit with the punting game, the kicking game a little bit. So he could certainly help in that regard. But does that solve Hamilton's problems here? No, I don't think it does. I think they need some better play from pretty much everybody on that roster. You know, defensively, I think they have a good quality defense. I don't know if they've stepped up necessarily to the quality of their defense. And Dane Evans has had a rough start to the year the past couple, most of these games here. So, you know, I'm looking for people to step up on Hamilton. I think this is a better team on paper than we've seen from them thus far. And coming off the bye week, yeah, I think they got to come out and play strong because we saw Montreal make a coaching change already. You could kind of apply it to whichever team loses here. I don't know if, you know, Steinauer's job is necessarily on the line here, but you got to start thinking maybe of making changes if you start your season, 0-4, 0-5 here if you're either of these teams.
No, I agree. I mean, something really needs to change in Hamilton and change in a hurry. This team was expected to be a contender. And so far, they have proved absolutely that they are not a contender by any stretch of the imagination. However, in the East, they win one game, they're in first. This is my thing with the one division thing, but hey, we won't get into that tonight just because, yeah, no, we better not. Otherwise, we're going to be here for another 3 hours. So, hey, the big thing I think, though, is if Hamilton can just get something moving. I mean, John Ryan's going to help him a lot just because of the kick. He's got a boot on him. And, I mean, he can flip a field very easily. If you're on your 20 and you get him to kick a football, he'll put them back on their 20 easily. He has had made some amazing kicks over the years for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. And I'm very surprised, actually, that the Riders didn't try to pick him up before Hamilton did. Now, I would like to know what Hamilton had to pay for him. That would be an interesting story, but unfortunately, they don't tell us CFL contracts. Nevertheless, anything else that we need to go through here for the battle of, I guess right now, the toilet bowl? Ryan?
We just had a question in the YouTube chat. Anybody here play football before? I have not. I have never played football in my life. Either of you guys?
Yeah, I played tight end in high school, boys.
Yeah. I mean, I played some scrimmages, but nothing serious. I've got some relations, though, that played CJFL, so.
Oh, right on. Cool. Nothing else for me, really, on this game. Just excited to see two teams at the bottom, you know, trying to turn things around here. I want to see who's successful this week and really what both of these teams do here. Trey?
The one thing I want to see is which team needs Kahari Jones more, because I'm surprised he hasn't been picked up yet, right? And I'm not saying head coach. I'm just saying offense, like OC, something needs to change around here. So surprised Kahari didn't get picked up. But other than that, yeah, it's the toilet bowl. They should be playing this one in the toilet Mosaic Stadium, right? But it looks like one. You can't argue that. Have you seen the high aerial views? Man, but other than that.
I'm just going to sit here and stare at you and glare at you for a while. Man, an IT field that doesn't look much better, buddy.
No, it doesn't, and it's sinking about 20 inches into the ground, man. Don't get me started on it. But I would take the Saskatchewan toilet bowl over the dump of the IG field, man. So don't worry.
Yeah, pretty much Mosaic looks like the toilet, and IGF looks like what you should put inside of it. Anyways, for Winnipeg fans, but I think really the big thing I'm going to be watching in this one a little bit is Can Ty Hamilton get a run game going? If they can't, it's going to be a long night again. And I'm not sure if Don Jackson is going to make this game. He should already. This has been a little bit of a long time coming. But right now, advantage Ottawa for William Powell in there. He's going to get going in one of these games, and this could be the one. So very interesting to see what happens, but I'm going to be watching the two run games, if we haven't said run games enough this podcast so far.
The interesting thing with Don Jackson, is I'm not sure how much of it is injury and how much of it is, I think part of it is actually ratio related, that at least last season it was a couple of times. I think it might be this time as well, and that's why we've seen Sean Thomas Erlington get the start ahead of him. I'm also surprised the Ticats released Malik Irons this week. I thought he was always kind of a utility running back that you could just, you know, put in there for a couple of plays and he could make some stuff happen. So I'm a bit surprised to see a team that struggled so much with the run game let one of their guys, who I thought was a useful piece of it, go here.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised to see that too. I mean, and you got a very good point. I mean, let's face it, they were relying on Lamar Durant being in that offense to bring out that allow that American running back. And let's face it, Lamar Durant has not been able to play so far for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And I think that you're right. It probably is affecting Don Jackson's ability to hit the field. Trey?
No, I just want to take this opportunity to apologize to the Rough Rider fans out there. I'm sorry for offending you, Brian, man. I want to get in front of it. I don't want to have to wait a couple days. I called you, Brian. You picked up. We communicated. The apology went through, right? So there we go.
Well said, Trey. Well said.
Boy, I just had such a good time on Monday. I'm trying to keep that energy going, boys. That's all.
It's a blast. I love doing this podcast with y'all.
Can anybody go and, like when Labor Day shows up, what this is going to be like?
Oh yeah, this is, I'm just going to, we'll set up the screen with me in the middle and I'm just going to stay on mute the entire episode while I let YouTube banter back and forth. We might have to put a bonus episode out of just like back and forth banter on Labor Day.
You know, we're just going to have to do the one game preview. It's just Saskatchewan, Winnipeg, and all Ryan needs to do is the intros and then say, okay, Adam, Trey, go.
Yeah. Easiest night of the season for me. Well, should we get on to the next portion of the show here, where we talk a little bit of CFL fantasy? I've gotten a lot of messages about where are the charts? What happened to the charts? The charts are back, folks. The fantasy charts are here. They're new. They're improved. They're still a bit of a work in progress. You'll see, new columns and stuff added as we go along throughout the season, but I'm working at it. I've got at least something here for you. So let's take a look at the quarterbacks here for CFL fantasy. First of all, let me try that. We'll go like this, actually. The most expensive one this week is Cody Fajardo of Saskatchewan Roughriders at over $10,000. Vernon Adams Jr. is the second most expensive, even though he's the backup. He's more expensive than his starter, Trevor Harris, at $85.60. Bo Levi Mitchell, $86.68. Zach Coleros, $82.25. Dane Evans, $81.33. McLeod Bethel Thompson, $78.13. Caleb Evans getting the start, $7,000. And Taylor Cornelius at $7,000, as well as your field here at quarterback. Of course, if you are listening to the podcast audio feed after the fact, I recommend checking out the video version over on YouTube. You can see all the players we're talking about and their stats and their prices and their full value threshold here, which is what I say, 2.5 points for every 1,000 you spend gets you full value on a player. So looking at the field of quarterbacks this week, I think it's an interesting week here. Nathan Rourke, you can't take him. He's on a bye week. That seems like the cheat code is not here. To me, the top options I'm considering are probably, Bo Levi Mitchell, Trevor Harris, Zach Coleros. They're kind of all next to each other price-wise here. I really like Trevor Harris, actually, this week. And I know he's struggled so far this season. I know his numbers haven't been great. I mean, he's averaged 8 points. That does include the games he was the backup. But you need 21 points out of Trevor Harris. Danny Machocha's taken over. It's his guy. And you're facing an Elks defense that is missing a lot of pieces right now. So I really like Harris this week. He's kind of my number one guy I'm leaning to if I can fit him in fantasy-wise. You know, Caleros, great game last week. Bo Levi Mitchell's playing well. Both of them kind of roughly decent pricing here as well. I'm scared for the matchup against each other's defenses a little bit there. But I would lean towards those as well. And then if you want a cheap play, if you want the cheapest here, I'd probably go Caleb Evans over Taylor Cornelius just based on Evans's run ability here and the matchup with Hamilton. What are you guys looking at quarterback here this week? Let's start with you, Trey.
Well, I guess I'm going to ask you, the fantasy master on the show, would you risk 7,000 with Caleb Evans or Cornelius, or would you take a backup like Drew Brown instead? That's like what, because like, you know, Drew Brown's probably going to go on those sneak plays, get some touchdowns, but he's probably not going to throw any picks. So what's your thought on that? Because I think I'm going to go with the 7,000 guy. I just don't know which one. Or is that too much info, Ryan? Like, you got to keep it, because I'm just, you know.
Sorry, repeat the question here for me.
Would you rather go with a guy like Caleb Evans at 7,000, who's going to play the whole game probably, but, you know, maybe throw picks, have some trouble, or 7,000 for Drew Brown, who's going to pick up those first downs and maybe some touchdowns near the goal line?
Yeah, I'd probably go Caleb Evans in that case. You know, Drew Brown, yeah, you could, but you're really banking. You probably need, at $7,000, you need two touchdowns out of him for him to hit full value there. I'd go for the guy starting the full game here.
Then, yeah, I'm probably going to go with Caleb Evans because I want to save my money for the – I believe my receiver went up a little bit, so I got to do some what does the Tampa Bay Lightning do? A little salary cap maneuvering around here, and I don't have any of the bonus cap for inviting people, right? So got to figure something out.
Adam? Yeah, no, I think I'm in the same boat as you are. I'm looking at Caleb Evans, and I'm looking at an Ottawa that's a fired-up team after what happened last week. And they got some stuff to prove, and I think that Caleb Evans might be just that guy to go out and prove it. It's against a team that does not like to really get pushed around too much, like we've seen before. I'm liking Caleb Evans right now. If I want to go expensive, I might think about even Bo Levi Mitchell a little bit. But again, they're playing Winnipeg, and that could be a dangerous combination. Just because of defensive line and the Winnipeg side of things. So I'm not sure exactly right now, but I'm leaning towards Caleb Evans.
Right? Yeah, it's interesting that everybody's leaning towards the cheap one on the play. I always say go as cheap as you can at quarterback because a lot of times they're not hitting the value that you need there at the QB position. So we'll see how this week plays out at quarterback. Let's take a look at the options at running back. Andrew Harris, the most expensive at 9,300. Jamal Morrow up there in price at 8,602. He passes Kadeem Carey, who's 8,360. William Powell, 6,987. You got Don Jackson at around 6,400. Sean Thomas Erlington, 55. Brady Oliveira, the most expensive Bomber running back here at just under 4,900. A couple Montreal guys, Jeshron Antwi, Walter Fletcher, around 4,500, 4,800. I believe Walter Fletcher gets the start this week for Montreal. Johnny Augustine at 4,000. Frankie Hicks and Peyton Logan, a couple backups played really well last week, $4,000 for them. And then you get into the real cheap options here. You know, Sherman Beatty should be starting, I think, for Edmonton again. He's 3,500. Greg McRae gets some touches for Winnipeg at 2,500. And Wes Hills did start at running back last game for Hamilton. So if he does again, that's a cheap play there. Running back this week, you got to love Jamal Morrow again. You're looking for 21.5 points out of him to hit full value. He's averaged 19.6 on the season. That's one of the top, it's the top average by far among running backs. So I really like Morrow if you can get the price in there. You know, the returner points, the rushing points, I think he's an integral part of that offense. Kadeem Carey, I do like him as well, but I'm not so sure against the Bombers defense that's played pretty good here. I like Walter Fletcher if he gets full starts. He's facing the Elks. The Elks give a lot up to the run game here. Walter Fletcher also, you know, 10.6 points average in the two games he's played here this season. My concern is he splits some time with Antwi, but I think it's worth putting Fletcher in for the price he's at. And then if you're really looking to save money here, you know, maybe you go Hickson, maybe you go Logan. I'd probably lean towards Logan because you know he's going to get the return points. Jalen Philpott's out this week, so I'm pretty sure we are going to see Peyton Logan doing returns here yet again, and with some rushing points here as well. I like that if you're looking for a real cheap play. Not sure I'm going at to any Hamilton running back. Not sure I'm going to any Winnipeg running back here. I don't like the time splits there. Adam, let's go to you first here. What do you see at running back?
You know, what I'm looking at here is actually a real value play right at the moment. There's two guys, one right beside the other, that get some really good points. You don't really need a whole lot of points out of them, 10 points each, to get full value out of them. I'm looking at Frankie Hixon, who's had a great game last game against Ottawa. They got to play the Argonauts, who really have been okay against. Again, it's so hard to tell with the Argonauts what they have there. But I like Frankie Hixon right now just because I think that he's going to have more opportunities because of that big run the other game. And I really like Peyton Logan. He's reasonable. He's $4,000. He's going to get you some return yards. And you never know if he busts one open and or if this game ends up going where it's actually a quick game and Calgary gets up big, you might see him quite a bit on the field. If that's not the case, the other guy, the one I'm more questioning on is Logan. If I don't take Logan, I'm looking at William Powell because I think that maybe Ottawa can finally start running some ball. And if William Powell can get going to help Caleb Evans out, he could be a good option as well. And he's not the most expensive running back on the field. Trey, what do you think?
Yeah, I think, see, my running back situation, again, I'm really bad at fantasy, so I might not be the guy to go to for this. My running back is basically, I put my three receivers and my defense in, and I just kind of fill in what's left. And right now, I'm thinking Frankie Hixon. I like what you're saying about he's a very cheap play. But right now I have like 9,000 in my salary cap. And do I really want to put Morrow in if I have Hixon? Probably not. You know, maybe split, get, you know, I don't know. But then is Kadeem Carey going to really run a lot against the Bombers defense? You don't know. So I was thinking William Powell. I was thinking him, you know, we don't know what Ottawa's going to have. They might lean on him more. So that's probably my two is Powell and Hixon right now on running back.
Yeah, it's a decent drop-off, too, in price, right? You save about $1,400 by going Powell over those other two guys. I'm not there yet. He should be used more in the offense than I think he has been thus far. Maybe it's going to take some time. Maybe with Caleb Evans, you know, William Powell gets more involved there than when Jeremiah Mazzoli is starting. So I do see the merit to what you guys are talking about. You know, he's averaged 10 points a game. You're looking for 17.5. That's not too far behind the eight ball if he hits his average. If he hits a good game, yeah, you're probably satisfied with your performance here from a guy like William Powell this week. Let's take a look at the wide receivers available. Hardly anybody over $9,000. We've had a market crash here at the wide receiver prices. Reggie Bagleton, the most expensive at 9,097. Eugene Lewis at 8,800. Braylon Addison, 86. Duke Williams, 84.53. Greg Ellingson, 83.24. Kenny Waller, 8,300. Kamar Jordan, 78.86. Tim White, 72.66. And Jake Winicky, 71.68. These are all the guys, the top priced guys over $7,000. Of these guys, I think I like Greg Ellingson the most. You know, you need 20.8 points out of him to hit full value. He's averaged 15.5 on the season. Him and Dalton Schoen are the 1-2 punch go-to for the Bombers this year and performing really well here for them. Ellingson's real one bad game this year was the one he missed a bunch of against Toronto. So I like that pick at the top price here. You know, Eugene Lewis or Jake Winicky, you know, maybe Winicky gets going against Edmonton, that defensive matchup, but he's only averaged 5 points a game this year. I'm not sure I'm taking a risk on those big prices. Anybody at these big top-end guys that you guys are looking at for your roster? Let's go to your first, Trey.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's insane. You can have three of the guys in the top five receiving yards for $18,000 salary cap. And right now I got Malik Henry and Greg Ellingson is the two guys on the board right now. And we all know who my third guy is going to be, who's the fifth guy on the receiving right now. That's insane. I don't know how these prices are determined, but like, that's, you know, that's a pretty good deal, I think, if you can have Ellingson, Henry, and Schoen on your roster for that. So that's my three guys. I think you can't go wrong with Ellingson. Good looking dude. He made some big catches. I love it. Malik Henry had a heck of a game, and Dalton Schoen, rookie of the season right now, Wildcat. So yeah, I'm pretty excited. I think there's gonna be a lot of receiving yards in that game. So I would go with Winnipeg, Calgary there. Adam.
Well, at least inflation never hit the running the receiving core side of things this week. It actually took a little bit of a crash, which is nice. I'm looking at one guy on the list. It's Duke. No, I'm kidding. It's not Duke Williams again after he burned me. I'm looking at Malik Henry. I threw him on my weekly fantasy for a reason, and I'm going to probably play him this week. I think he's going to have a big game against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And there's another Calgary guy I'm going to have, but I can't talk about him till later on. Out of the big guys, that's probably who I'm mostly looking at. But you're right, Trey. Greg Ellingson could be a very good pickup. I just don't like that he's got to get 20 points to make him his full value. It's a little much, I think, right at the moment for $8,300, but very close to probably being worth it. But when you look at a guy like Brandon Banks, even 16 points, pretty likely that he might just hit that. So I'm looking right now, Malik Henry. It might change. It might be Brandon Banks or somebody else. But I think right now, yeah, Malik Henry's my choice.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You look at the averages on the season, and you look at what they need to hit their values. And a lot of these top guys don't come close. Like Reggie Bagleton's most expensive. He's averaging 9 points on the year. I talked about Winicky already. You know, Braylon Addison started the year at $12,000. He's dropped about $4,000 in price because he hasn't been producing. You are better off generally spending a little less at wide receiver. I didn't talk about him. I do actually like Tim White, 7266. He's had a pretty good year so far, averaging 15 points a game. And coming off the bye week, if Dane Evans is going to turn this around, I think Tim White's going to be one of the guys heavily involved in that. So I do like that play. Also, looking kind of more at the middle tier of prices here at wide receiver, you guys kind of mentioned Brandon Banks, Malik Henry already. I think Henry is going to be in a lot of people's lineups this week after what he did the last two games against Edmonton, which just makes for kind of the interesting case of, well, then do I put him in my lineup so that I don't miss out on it if he succeeds? Or do I take the chance on that he's going to have a down week? I think he's going to have a good week because there's no Jalen Philpott, there's no Richie Sindani. So I think your big three of Bagleton, Kamar Jordan, and Malik Henry are going to be your go-to guys here for Calgary this week. Stephen Dunbar, also like him as an option, maybe even more than Tim White. He comes in at around 6,300. He's averaged 14.9 this season. There's a lot of guys in this middle price I like. You know, Jalen Acklin's had a good year so far. Keon Schaefer-Baker, only 6,205, seems like a steal for, he's been averaging 14.6 on the season. So I like that as well. You got a couple of Argos, et cetera, in the middle of the price here. Interesting one, Chandler Worthy for the Alouettes comes in at 5,583. He doesn't play offense. He hardly plays offense, maybe one touch a game. But yeah, he's averaged 11 points a game this season solely because of the return yards and the two return touchdowns he's had. So we kind of saw that with Devontae Dedmon last year, where it's a weird case where a return man only is actually almost worth the price. I'm not quite there yet, but hey, they are facing Edmonton. Edmonton has given up a couple return touchdowns this season. So that is of note there as well. Markeith Ambles, Darrell Walker, Rashid Bailey, kind of all in this price range as well. Don't really love any of those options. I think they've been underperforming a little bit here. Anybody in this middle price outside of, you know, Malik Henry, Brandon Banks, which we've talked about already, Adam, that you've got your eye on here?
Well, one guy I'm just about like Trey, I always pick every week, it seems, is Keon Schaefer-Baker. If you look at him, he's got to get 15 and a half points. He averages 14.6. So to me, he's a good little pickup. He's $6,200. He's a little more on the expensive side of the mid cards, but he always seems to produce. And right now, Saskatchewan doesn't have all their receivers that they usually do going at 100%. Schaefer-Baker is one of those that is 100%. So I like Keon Schaefer-Baker. Another one also that really is a very reasonable price, especially for the career he's had, is Manny Arcidol. $4,749. 10.9 is your average with him. He needs 11.9 this week. Very reasonable to do. He needs a touchdown and a couple big plays. And not really many big plays, maybe two big plays, and he's got your yards for you and then some. So to me, those are the two I'm looking at. But right now, probably it's Keon Schaefer-Baker. And then we'll see what we do for the third receiver. It might be a very valuable value play. Trey?
Yeah, it's hurting me because Schaefer-Baker is one of those guys, too, that I seem to pick for the last few weeks. But right now, he's on the bubble. And only because I have a little bit of extra salary cap. So I think he was the guy I want to go with. Malik and Dalton. Ellingson might get swapped out for Baker, and then I might spend that money somewhere else. We'll have to see. I always say that, and then I end up forgetting to change my roster before the first game goes off, and then I just go with whatever I say. So this price range is interesting because, like you said, you got someone like Arsenault who historically could go off at any time. You got Chandler Worthy, right? Like we all said, there's guys on here who could go off, Rasheed Bailey, Ackland. So it's a very interesting price range, but I think for the most part, I'm going to stay away unless Schaefer-Baker slides in, because I considered Malik on the top echelons. So, and that was kind of the cutoff. And then after that, I think Schaefer might be on the bubble, but we'll see.
Yeah, for sure. Let's look at the next prices available. We already, I think Adam mentioned Emmanuel Arcidol already coming in around 47, 49. Then it drops off. Nate Bahar at 4,000. Caleb Hawley just under that. Dalton Schoen, no longer the $2,500 value play, unfortunately, but 38.93, I think, is still an absolute steal for him. You need 9.7 points, and he's averaged 14.5. Oh, and what did he do last week? Put up 31.7. He's become the number one, arguably, receiver over in Winnipeg. I don't think we saw that coming preseason. And buy him while his price is still semi-low here on Dalton Schoen. Luther Hakuna-Vanu, also just under that price. He's had not a bad season. Put up 11.5 last week with a touchdown. Should still factor in as one of the top receivers here for Calgary. And I think Bo likes to look at him for some of those red zone threats here. Moving down the list, I like Reggie White Jr. in Montreal. You know, if you're not going to risk high prices on Eugene Lewis or Jake Winicky, he's kind of the next best option, and he's pretty cheap at $3,500. So if you're banking on that game with, Montreal, a big game against Edmonton's defense here, I like the play of Reggie White Jr. Mitchell Pickton the last couple weeks seemed like, you know, a good potential play, but didn't do so great last week. Is injured, I think you said earlier here, Adam. And then we get into the $2,500 plays roughly here. Cam Phillips, if you need a cheap play for Toronto, has put up more on average than than his price warrants here. Terry Williams, the return man in Ottawa, had the big game last week, 16.7, maybe some potential plays there for you as well. And then there's the really intriguing one of Kyle Oxley at $2,500. He, I think, is listed as the backup quarterback for Edmonton, but yet he's a receiver in fantasy. Could he play receiver, get you some points from there? Could he play quarterback and get you some points from there, especially if Taylor Cornelius struggles? My only caveat is I'm not 100% sure how sound the CFL fantasy website system is and whether or not it will properly register like passing yards for a wide receiver. I would hope so, but I cannot guarantee that because this is kind of a once in a lifetime weird situation you see this guy. But hey, maybe worth the chance at $2,500. Who are you guys looking at the cheap price here? I know you mentioned Dalton Schoen, Trey. Still taking him at this price here, despite the increased price, right? And anybody else in the cheaper section you maybe have your eye on that could sway you?
No, not a chance. And Schoen over Love. I disagree. He's fifth in receiving yards, and he's only 55 yards down to the lead. Yeah, he's played one more game than Malik Henry, but rookie, that's a steal. Still, he could probably be double the price and it would still not be crazy with how he's production wise. So That's the only guy I got in here. This is an interesting list. Like maybe the Philpotts, if you want to fill in, they're very athletic, and if they get a chance. But other than that, no, it's maybe Waller Tarski. He can pick up some yards too. But no, other than that, it's just going to be the Dalton show here on Trey's fantasy team. Adam?
You know, every week I go and I don't pick Dalton Schoen, and then I say, why didn't I pick Dalton Schoen? So, you know what? I'm tempted to pick him up again this week, even at 38.93. I've got the room for him if I take one of the more reasonable priced quarterbacks. Another guy, though, that I'm looking at right now is Luther Hakanavanu. And I hope I said that right. I apologize if I didn't. But nevertheless, I'm looking at him as well. I think he's going to be one of those players that fits into the Calgary roster a lot in the next coming bit. He'd be an interesting pick as well, just because, let's face it, there's limited options for Bo Levi. And hey, he got a touchdown last week. Probably could get another throw going at him this week as well. One other guy, though, that I wanted to mention was Kyle Loxley. He is listed on the depth chart right now as wide receiver for the Elks. So he will start as wide receiver and then probably move around as they see fit. They'll get some run plays in with him, I'm sure, for his direct snaps. There'll be all sorts of weird things that Chris Jones is going to do because, you know, Chris Jones going to Chris Jones. Yeah, that's the only other one that I could see on that one. Like I said, the cheaper ones on the other side of things, I mean, I've talked in the Riders before about Jacob Prohl. One guy that I was impressed with last week, actually, though, was for the Ottawa Redblacks. Terry Williams actually had a pretty good game last week and got some points to show for it. Right now, he's shooting over his weight for points for what he needs to get. So, to me, Terry Williams wouldn't be a bad pick as well. But like I said, I'm looking at the first two that I said before, Hakanavanu and Schoen.
Right on. Yeah, it seems like we're generally in agreement on a lot of the top players available at wide receiver this week. Let's take a look at the defenses here. Now, I'm still working things out with the charts. I don't have the averages and the stats on the defense yet. That will come another week. But we can take a look at the prices and what they need to hit this week. Winnipeg's most expensive at $41.94, Saskatchewan $39.79, Calgary $36.53, and then Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal, and Hamilton all at $3,200. Here you've got Saskatchewan. You know, they have arguably been the best fantasy defense this season. A lot of sacks, a lot of turnovers. They're facing an Argos team. We have question marks about McLeod Bethel Thompson. I kind of like that pick there of the Riders. Not sure if I go either Winnipeg or Calgary because you could go either way. They're both playing two. Both are very good football teams there. I like Montreal's defense this week. Taylor Cornelius, even if he has a successful game, I think will throw you a couple of picks. And while Montreal has had up and down games, last game against Saskatchewan wasn't good for their defense. They also put a big game up against the Riders in their first matchup this year. And they've got some playmakers on that defense. And I just don't trust Taylor Cornelius. So if I was looking for any of the cheap defenses, I'd probably go Montreal's here at $3,200. What about you guys? Trey, what are you looking at defense? As a guy by a rule who can't pick Saskatchewan, who else are you looking at here?
Yeah, that's... Yeah, I'm staying away from the top four anyway, Winnipeg, Saskatchewan, Calgary, Toronto, because I think those are going to be games. Definitely Winnipeg, Calgary. Saskatchewan might take over that one. I think the line's actually pretty close. So I'm going to stay away from Toronto and Saskatchewan. So the cheap defense is going to be interesting. I was kind of leaning towards Ottawa because I'm not really sold on Hamilton, but I do like your pick of Montreal too. So I think I don't think Edmonton I got faith in. Yeah, no. What do I have to do, Adam, to be able to pick Saskatchewan? What was the problem again?
I think you have to give me like about 3 or 4 year players for weekly fantasy, and then I'll think about it.
No. I'll just stick with Montreal. I think that I agree with what Ryan says. They'll be all over Cornelius, and even if Montreal doesn't put up the points themselves, I think they're gonna not give up many points. Adam.
I'm just going to read you the stats from last year on Taylor Cornelius, 14 games, 9 touchdowns, but 13 interceptions. Let's face it. I mean, Taylor Cornelius is a walking interception machine right at the moment. And I hope the guy gets a good opportunity in Edmonton, But let's face it, I don't like his opportunities when he's throwing footballs like he did last year. He had a bad game. I watched him in Mosaic last year, just tossing up weird footballs that ended up getting picked. And well, I think two of them went back for six. So to me, that makes Montreal the team to pick if you don't have an ability to pick Saskatchewan. I don't know. I'm debating between Saskatchewan and Montreal. And the reason being is Saskatchewan is playing a Toronto Argonauts team that has a McLeod Bethel-Thompson that has to play the first and second quarter. And he has a chance, usually has an opportunity to throw a lot of picks too. So Saskatchewan could, I think, is the more dangerous defense, but I think Montreal probably will have a good shot at getting a lot of points as well.
Right on. Well, that's it for the fantasy options for this week. Of course, make sure you check out the depth charts before you set your lineups. Don't end up with a guy in there that's not going to play this week. And looking forward to another week of CFL fantasy. Of course, in our fantasy league here on the podcast, a number of moves have been made this week. Adam dropped wide receiver Mitchell Pickton and picked up Nate Behar instead, who he just dropped the week before. Adam, I believe your video is still frozen here. Mike made a number of moves, wholesale changes for Mike, dropped wide receiver Drew Walatarski, dropped quarterback Jeremiah Mazzoli, who's out with an injury, moved Brian Burnham off of IR to make room for Trey Ford on his IR. Boy, Mike has had some injury issues here. Also adding two quarterbacks, Dane Evans and Trevor Harris, to his roster. So Mike with a lot of tinkering so far this week. We'll see how our lineups do. We're also, the three of us, playing in the CFL Podcast Fantasy League this season. This week, Trey, you've got Daltz from the Rouge Radio Podcast. I've got a Battle of the Ryans, me versus Ryan from Horseman Radio. Oh, it's perfect. The Bombers are playing the Stampeders. I'm playing Ryan from Horseman Radio, who only takes Stampeders. So both me and my football team are going to come out with an easy win this week. Who else we got here? Adam, of course, facing off against Joe Pritchard from the Rouge White and Blue Podcast, last season's champ. So we'll see how we all do with our fantasy matchups this week here. I think that does it for the fantasy stuff. Let's get into our picks for the week, our picks against the spread. What do we got here, Trey?
Well, let's kick it off with the Thursday nighter. Edmonton rolls into Montreal. They make really good graphics, but they're not really good at the spread right now. +9 on the road going into Montreal, which would be make them -9. This one's a tough one. This is a big spread. I don't think Edmonton's going to win, but is Montreal going to win by 10 almost? This one's going to be one that I think you guys are definitely going to need to switch, or I'm going to have to switch before my office hours close on Thursday, right? So I'm going to go with Edmonton now. I don't think they're going to lose. I'm sorry. That's my PlayStation going off. Someone's inviting me to a game over there. I'm going to go with Edmonton. I think that they're not going to lose by 10. So that's where I got. Ryan?
Yeah, I always, whenever the gap is this big, I'm always hesitant to go for it. That is a big difference here, and I don't think Montreal is that much better than Edmonton right now. I'm not high on the Alouettes. Who knows what we're going to see in Danny Machocha's first game as head coach. I'm going to take the Alouettes to win this one at home, but I could, you know, by at least 9 points, I don't know. I think I'm going Edmonton to cover here.
I'm looking at this game and I'm saying, you know what? This is an old classic rivalry when you think about it. Danny Machocha's Edmonton team pulling in and playing the Montreal Alouettes, except for it's the opposite way now. Danny's over on Montreal's side of the football. And let's face it, used to be where Montreal used to pick on Edmonton a little bit because Danny Machocha was on that side. So I'm going to pick the Edmonton Elks right now just because I don't have any faith in Danny Machocha. Mainly, I'm sorry, Danny. I'm sorry, Gary, for watching and annoying you profusely by saying you don't have a proper coach. But you know what? Prove me wrong. I think the Montreal, their defense is going to do okay. I might switch this also in a little bit here. I'm not sure, just because I'm really not happy with Taylor Cornelius You know who's going to win in this game? The fans. They're going to win.
Yeah, let's move on to the next game. Friday Nighter, Battle of Undefeateds. The Calgary Stampeders. I think the Stampede's going on right now. They're coming into Winnipeg. Winnipeg's favorite at home, -4. This was another tough one. I think that that's the tough one. I'm going to go with Winnipeg, boys. I think that if this was in Calgary, I think I'd take Calgary. But in Winnipeg, they're going to have the crowd. I heard ticket sales are pretty high. I heard 29,500 possibly, but I don't know how accurate that is. That's from CFL attendance on Twitter. So I don't know. Could be a big game. Not much else to do in Winnipeg on a Friday night. There's a lot of crime going on. Maybe go to IG Field and watch a game instead of robbing places, right? So let's take Winnipeg. Adam, what about you?
Wow. Well, that's all I got to say on that one anyways.
I'm sorry, guys. You guys shouldn't give me a leash. You shouldn't give me a leash. You give me a little bit of leash, and I'm going to say the stupidest thing. So let's just go on.
Anyways, I thought at least you can go to Winnipeg and eat some vanilla ice cream somewhere. I'm sure they've got it all over the place. Anyway, I think that right now I'm going to be leaning towards the Winnipeg Blue Bombers because they're at home. Otherwise, I would probably be picking the Stampeders in this one. I don't know if I have that much faith in that Winnipeg run game, but I do have faith right now still in Zach Collaros to pick on the Stampeders secondary a little bit. So right now I'm going to go with Winnipeg, but again, this one's pretty close. I might switch it also, right?
It's always close when these two teams play each other. I feel like, especially at IG Field, last year, wasn't it the Rene Paradis missed 49-yard field goal, I think it was, at the end of the game that ended up deciding this one. So I think it's going to come down to the wire. These are two good football teams. If we're picking outright, you know, I have no problem going the Bombers based on their home track record over the last couple of seasons. The dang spread gets me every time, guys. It always gives me the question mark. I'll go with Winnipeg here as well. You know, that strong defense shut it down in the fourth quarter. I think the Bombers will take this one by enough here.
Yeah, that dang spread. That's four is tough. I agree it's going to come down to the wire, but it depends on who has that field goal, right? We know if one team has the field goal, then are the Bombers going to get a touchdown and go up by four, or are they going to be the one? It's a real tough thing. It's going to come down to last possession, I think. And again, it's going to be whoever has that one. But we're going to move on Saturday. I'm not going to offend the Newfoundlanders and try to say that Jib Long thing. But we all know what I'm talking about, where you kiss the cod and drink some Nova Scotia Keith. I'm going to take Toronto, +2.5. And if they actually get me this, I will drink six Alexander Keiths on Monday's show or whatever next show I'm on, just because I think the pride of Nova Scotia is going to be treated to a dandy of a game. Saskatchewan could still win. I'm going to take Toronto +2.5, though. I have a feeling about Harris. I don't know. A little bit when things creep up, I have a feeling he's going to have a game again and maybe take over. I hope I'm wrong. I don't know, I hope I'm wrong, but I think Saskatchewan needs this win, but I think Toronto does too. Let's go with the Rough Rider guy. Interested on his thoughts, Adam.
Yeah, no, I would like to remind everybody to drink your Alexander's Keys responsibly. Anyways, with that being said, you know what? I'm looking at this team of the Rough Riders, and I'm looking at the Argonauts, and I just don't see a way that the Argonauts could pull this one off. That defense of Saskatchewan's has been rock solid. And with a running game now that the Rough Riders are showing, if they can keep this going, it's going to be Saskatchewan. But the real winner, again, is the fans out in Atlantic Canada. And I hope this is the start for them to get a new stadium. Ryan?
Is this how you're planning to keep your lead in terms of the picks, Adam? Is just pick the fans for every game so you don't
the, get the fans wrong. Always win, man. I'm just saying. Also, I couldn't get the Gophers to tell me what they picked. There's no Gophers apparently in Atlantic Canada.
For me, I'm going Saskatchewan here as well. Like, Toronto's the home team, but are they really the home team? Like, I guess Saskatchewan has more of a travel distance, but this isn't at BMO Field. I like the Riders more. The spread isn't too big to make me consider going back Toronto here. It's an East versus West game. I'm going the West here. I'm going Saskatchewan.
I'm tired of this. I get the East versus West thing, but at some point, the East has got to win one, right? Like, you're winning, you know, it's got to be more than someone's going to have to beat a team other than Edmonton at some point. But yeah, 2.5, that's a tight one. But I'm going to take Toronto. I'm going to take them. I want to be different than you guys, and that's fine. Let's go to the finale of the weekend. Ottawa, quarterback, big kind of quarterback change coming in Hamilton, though, in the donut box. Not a lot going on there. But Hamilton's favored by 7. This is another one. Those big spreads are tough. Thank you, Kat. The East will beat Winnipeg. Thank you. Thank you. That's probably going to happen in the group chat there, or in our comments there. But back to the game. I have ADHD. I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to take Hamilton. No, Ottawa. I'm going to take Ottawa. I'm going to take Ottawa at the cover. I have no real reason. This is a tough one, guys. Ryan, what do you think?
Yeah, I thought this was insane when I saw that this two winless teams had a 7-point difference here. Seemed a little odd to me. I guess it's been Jeremiah Mazzoli's injury that they're leaning towards in setting this line here. I'm going Ottawa here as well. I think this is going to be a close game. I think they could still get it done, the Red Blacks here. And Hamilton has not looked good so far this season. Do I think Hamilton could win this one? I may take Hamilton outright, but am I going to take them to win by more than 7? No, I don't think I am. I think this game comes down to a field goal. I think it's going to be ugly, and one team is going to win by a late-game field goal, which either way that one field goal goes. If I pick Ottawa, hopefully will make me correct here. So I'm going with the Red Blacks. Adam?
You know, I was looking at this game, and yeah, 7 seems like a big difference for two teams that have a lot of donuts going into the donut hole. So, you know what? To me, I look at one team with a chip on their shoulder and angry that they had a showing in Saskatchewan the way they did. And I look at a Hamilton team that should be on a bye week, that should be well-rested and ready to go. But I'm going to take the team with the chip on their shoulder. I think Ottawa can cover that. I don't think Hamilton... they're at home, and I know they play usually better at home with the crowd with them, like the Box J boys. But I don't know if they're going to end up beating the Ottawa Red Blacks by more than 7, just because I don't know if Ottawa's like I think Ottawa's really coming in wanting to prove a point that yeah, you might have taken Mazzoli, but we're still going to go and beat you down and come back in this East. So to me, it's a prove me game for Ottawa more than it is Hamilton. I'll go with Ottawa outright winning this game.
All right. I think that does it for our picks here for week number 6. Hopefully we get back on track here with our picks this week. Rough week last week for us. Let's get it back on the right track here. And of course, as you make your picks and you make your bets, bet responsibly. Do not go to Vegas based off of what we said here. Bet the farm, bet the house, anything like that, based on what we suggested here. I think that does it for our week 6 preview. So let's take a look at what's coming up next here on the podcast coming forward in the next week or so. Monday night, July 18th, we'll be back with our week 6 recap. At 9 p.m. Winnipeg time, 8 p.m. Saskatchewan, other time zones accordingly. We'll talk through all the games, give our players the week, update our power rankings, and I'm sure disagree on a lot of those things as well, because it's all in good fun. And then next Wednesday, back here again, same time, same place, same things we did tonight. Major storylines, CFL fantasy options, and our picks against the spread, 9 p.m. Winnipeg time there as well on Wednesday, July 20th. Of course, for both these shows, you can catch them live over on YouTube. Search the Canadian Football Countdown there. Facebook.com/CF Countdown Pod. Twitter @CF Countdown Pod. Twitch.tv/CF Countdown Pod. And on the Game Time TV YouTube page, shout out to our presenting sponsors, Game Time TV. Learn more at Facebook.com/GameTimeTVMB. You can catch all of these shows live every week. Of course, you can catch them in the podcast feeds as well. Follow us on social media on Twitter @CF Countdown Pod, Facebook as well, Facebook.com/CF Countdown Pod. Make sure you check out all the other great shows from around the Canadian Football Podcast Network as well, @CF Pod Network on Twitter for that. Guys, where can people find what you've got going on these days? Let's start with you, Trey.
Yeah, you can find me at Twitter @TreyMBHarness. And, you know, don't take me seriously. I'll say stupid things for an hour and a half and until these guys here tell me that I got to stop. So, you know, if you want to hear more shenanigans, @TreyMBHarness. Big into horse racing. I had to exit off the Assiniboia Downs because I was losing and I didn't want to get mad. But, yeah, harness racing, big into that. yeah, whatever you want to talk about. So at Tramby Harness. Adam, what about you?
Yep, you can find me over at AdamStewart1. There you can find me talking pretty much trash talk to the Calgary Flames about losing Johnny Gaudreau, especially to Columbus. Anyways, nevertheless, you can find me over there about that. You can also find good farm pictures. You can find all sorts of cool things. I even talk a little bit of CFL. I get into the buttered heart debate, which is a very, very sensitive topic, I realize, with the CFL family. Yeah, follow me over at AdamStewart1. And if you get a chance also tomorrow, make sure you go check out Mike Garrell. He's going to be doing a NHL wrap up for the fantasy or for the free agency. I'm sure he's going to have a lot to talk about tomorrow. I think sometime around 4 or 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. So make sure you're checking that out there. Go over to at Mike Garrell. He'll be able to give you that as well. Mike, Ryan?
I just wanted to add one thing. First, I'm going to answer Andrew's question in the chat here. Give me a harness racing site you can bet on. If you're in Canada, you can bet on hpibet.com. You got harness racing from Australia, Sweden, Canada, and America. And you also got some big thoroughbred tracks on there. But the one thing I wanted to add, thank you for bringing up the hockey. I'm going to make a bold prediction, and I'll even put it on here. The Ottawa Senators are going to do better than the Toronto Maple Leafs next season, boys. I love the moves they did. I can't stand the Leafs. We're on the CFL podcast. I can be a little bit biased about NHL teams, right? Ottawa Senators, boys, I'm loving the pickups they've gotten. The Leafs are going to do nothing with no salary cap. But Mariah, to you, buddy.
Yeah, yes, very well said there. I like the bold predictions. Adam, I'm happy you called out Mike's show. Of course, you can find that on the Game Time TV YouTube page as well tomorrow. I believe 5 p.m. Central is when it's currently scheduled for, so look forward to that. You can find me on Twitter at CooperTrooper42. It starts with a K if you want to talk CFL, CFL fantasy, anything like that. If you want to talk about NHL free agency as well, if you want to talk about the moves the Jets made, oh wait, they didn't. They really didn't do much today. Still waiting for that one of these years. Hey, Tampa Bay re-signed a bunch of players there today on some good deals. So happy about that. Yeah, you can follow me at CooperTrooper42. Of course, thanks to everybody who joined us live here tonight. All the great comments in the chat throughout the night here as well. And whatever podcast platform you're listening on, we always appreciate it. If you do all the fun things such as like, comment, subscribe, rate, review, share the show with your friends, help us grow the show. We always appreciate that. And on behalf of our panel here tonight, Trey Colbeck, Adam Stewart, I'm Ryan Coop saying thank you for listening. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.